The Curses, written by Laura Eve and read by Claire Calverley.
Chapter 1. Wolf had been back from the dead for almost 3 weeks when we had our first midnight picnic of the year. Some childhood moments have a way of sinking deep into your bones, lingering on, casting their long shadows into your future. The midnight picnics were something my siblings and I had created among us as kids. They began as the kind of rebellion that ignited darkly addictive sparks in our bellies, and that gradually, with repetition and the unofficial sanction of our parents, had become a spontaneous ritual. We'd sneak out, laden with goods lifted from the pantry and fridge, and ramble into the darkness to find a place and a time and a moment that came together. We liked to allow our secret selves out of their everyday cages, just for a little while. This was how I came to find myself in the hallway of our house, shivering in the late night bite, eyeing my brother with bleary agreeableness as he stood in front of me and pulled my favourite scarf snug around my neck. I'd gone to bed early, and he had shaken me awake, looming over me in the dark of my bedroom, like a pretty tousle-haired ghost. It was early January, and it had been a sharp and bitter month so far. Snow was promised, but hadn't yet delivered. I had always seen snow as a purifying substance that promises a clean slate, until it melts, exposing the dirt hidden underneath all along. "What are we doing?" I said, still stupid from sleep. My forgot-to-be-a-whisper carried clean across the hallway, and Fenrin shushed me softly. Cold air wound around our legs from the open back door.
"It is veritably shocking that you haven't figured it out yet," he murmured, and gave me his naughtiest smile.
I pulled my gloves out of the pocket of my leather jacket and wrestled my fingers into them. Fenrin took my gloved hand in his and led me outside, moving across the lawn's frozen, crackling grass toward the fruit grove at the bottom of the garden, heading straight for the guard dog. The guard dog was the ancient oak tree that squatted at the start of the grove, and family legend said that it had been here before the house, which had been deliberately built within its shadow. It was a sprawling, knotted old thing with a mind of its own, known for swaying its branches on a still day, as if it felt a wind no one else could. In the spring, tiny star-shaped flowers grew haphazardly on its trunk, which Esther would pick and use in small batches of face cream formulas that her customers swore made them look younger overnight. Her back orders for that cream often extended into the previous year. One anonymous customer paid handsomely to have a guaranteed annual order, with a stipulation that it be made from the very first flowers of the season, as, according to Esther, they were the most potent. Right now, though, it was too early in the year for the star flowers, and the guard dog's trunk was bare, but its base was ringed in light. Tiny flames clawed up toward the tree from their candle plinths, turning the bark bright, sending orange-gold sparks against the dark. Higher up, the tree had been strung with fairy lights that glittered against the winter-sparse branches, illuminating the sky. Electric magic. Spread out on the ground underneath the guard dog and its ring of candlelight was a blanket covered in plates and trays. Two dark figures crouched at its edges. They paused as we arrived, faces lit from below by candlelight. I gave an entirely unsummer-like gasp of delight.
"Midnight picnic," I whispered gleefully, and Fenrin gave me a wink.
My sister Talia, balancing easily on her haunches, looked up at me. She was swaddled in a white woolen scarf that hung in huge mushrooming folds around her neck, her caramel hair spreading across the wool in soft waves. She had on her winter skirt, the colour of deep burgundy wine, and it swirled around her ankles, just long enough to flirt with the ground when she walked. I'd once borrowed it without asking. I was shorter than she was and had accidentally ripped the hem by repeatedly treading on it. Talia hardly ever lost her temper, but when she did, it was spectacular. Almost worth provoking her just to see it.